We're back in the Basement Record Library with our guest tonight, Ry Cooter.
Let's talk about Cuba for a minute. Is it true that you were busted for breaking the embargo that you only got a visa for your last trip on Clinton's last day in office?
That's right. Because it would have been okay, except the thing was a great big hit, as you know, and everybody knows that. And the movie came, and Wim Wenders made the film, and this really blew it up. And then people started going to the State Department saying, well, we want license or variance or something off the embargo law. And they said, well, we don't ever do that. And, well, you did, because Cooter went. Who's that? Says the State Department. Well, it's this guy Cooter, and he made this record, and he got away with it. Now, how come he did it, and we can't? So the State Department looked into it. And they saw exactly. They wouldn't have noticed this kind of. I don't think they'd have paid attention, but they did. Then they paid attention. So then it came to pass that we got in trouble. We had to get lawyers and get out of trouble. But I thought, you know, it's not enough to just, you know, close the shop and go home. I got this guy, Manuel Galbana, we had found, and he's ready to go, and Ibrahim Ferrer ought to have another solo record. So we put through the lawyer, we went to the Clinton people and said, won't you allow this cultural thing to happen one-to-one? Clinton was in favor of these kinds of things, you know, artistic, call it intellectual property exercises, whatever you want to call it. And the State Department said, there's moles in the State Department, said, absolutely not. But Clinton, leaving office, he had nothing to lose. So he wrote a memo, and they had to give us a license, allowing us to go down one more time over the period of a year to make these two records, very specific. But it's the only license ever been given in 40 years of the embargo, you know, to an individual. Now, they let the drug companies do business, of course, but not to an individual. So we went back down.
And you made the
those two records.
Extraordinary record with Manuel Galbán.
Yeah.
I don't believe that was very well received. I don't think
got
anybody
Grammy.
Noticed. It won a Grammy?
Yes, it did. It didn't sell any copies, but it sure as hell got a Grammy. Moment, the vibe was there for that record. But you see, here's what happened. They started, the evil clowns started the Iraq War. And we saw this coming. I said, that's the end. Because what was before a climate maybe of expansiveness or relaxation among people because they felt secure or they felt, I don't know what they felt, collectively. Then fear came. The evil clowns brought fear, and the evil clowns brought the war, and everybody shrank away and shriveled up, and there was no more world music, and you couldn't sell a ticket, and you couldn't sell a record. And I said, here comes this cloud, like a big dust cloud. I could see it. And that means Ibrahim Ferrer is gone. That means Manuel Galban and me with our little record, which I think is a really good record.
Me too.
Absolutely fantastic. No question about it. But it was no longer... it was no longer acceptable. You know, people couldn't take it. They couldn't begin to, as a whole, I mean, relate anymore. You know what I mean? Because paranoia eliminates these things. You're no longer, you don't care about Cubans anymore. You're not curious anymore. You're not going to go listen to this record because you're too busy worrying and being scared and being driven mad by that stuff that we have to deal with now every day. Now it's balling up again and escalating again, and I'm everybody I know is half out of their mind over this whole thing. This goddamn election's enough to make you sick. I got more friends stricken with catastrophic illness right now than you can possibly imagine. That's a really amazing overall effect it has on people.
But I'm fascinated that you think that there was just a chill.
There was a chill.
Placed
I am sitting here telling you that I know it's a fact. Because having experienced this surge of interest over this whole Buena Vista thing, so completely in the media, mind you, now mainstream media. I'm not talking about Pacifica Radio, but mainstream television media. Tell us, Mr. Cooter, and blah blah, and tell us again, and tell us one more time. And I thought, man, the media is going for this. Why? Some kind of human interest story. They have time for this. They have somebody, an executive, has said, this is a good one. Go out and get that story. And this went on for 2 straight years, but not when the thing started. When the chill started, the media was elsewhere, going elsewhere, looking at other things, and we couldn't get arrested. And then, of course, the evil clowns stopped allowing musicians from Cuba and other countries, as we know, to even come here anymore. Chucho Valdez couldn't get a gig. He'd been coming here for 30 years. He couldn't get a gig. Or Ibrahim Ferrer couldn't come and get his Grammy, for Christ's sakes. Mm-hmm. Boy, that killed him. Manuel Galban couldn't come and get his. I had to stand up at the Grammy thing and say, thank you for Manuel, and he's sorry he can't be here, and I'm really super sorry that he can't be here, and I blame the, do the following, bang, 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 goes the red light. Nobody cared because they were on cell phone because it was 3 in the afternoon. It wasn't the prime time thing. But that's the world we've had for the last 8 years, and we all know about that, so I don't have to say too much about that.
Tell me a little about the RCR Visu record.
Okay, well... In the Chavez Ravine days, when I was making that record, and I had Lalo Guerrero, the old patriarch, and Don Tosti, the other patriarch, and Willie G of the Midnighters, and I had done about 5-6 tunes, and so I thought, I'm going to need a woman here, but I'm going to need somebody of the who can relate to the time and be of that time, like Lalo was of that time, having to do with how you sing. I mean, the sound of the language in the mouth is what it's all about. When Lalo says the words, those Spanish words, and he gives it that pronunciation, that old man gravitas, you know, it's very dramatic. So I happen to like that kind of thing. And that has weight to me. And then the story has weight, and then we will like it better. So I went looking, and I thought, well, who's female? You know, who was ever... out of the scene, there weren't that many. It wasn't well recorded. It wasn't well documented in those days. So I found a picture of the sisters. These were three girls, three sisters, teenage, bouffant hair and skinny neck and this, that had recorded on Delphi, which was Bob Keane, who discovered Ritchie Valens. And I suppose what must have happened was he got Ritchie, and it was a hit, Earl Palmer on drums, can you imagine? And he said, hey, I can do this. There's others out there in East L.A., in the barrio of East L.A., you know? So let's go see what we can find. So we went around, probably sent scouts out to find whoever he could. And he got these three teenage girls, and they recorded some tracks, and it didn't happen because in those days it was all about radio, again. And if you could cross over, like Cannibal and the Headhunters did a little and Willie G did a little, you might sell a few copies. But the sisters didn't. The Arvizu sisters did not cross over, didn't end up on the radio, and they didn't do it anymore. So it was a brief thing. And Ursi went on to record with El Chicano and this, but that was later. So I look at this photograph and I say, now that is cool. Here's these girls. You know, Chicano, LA, Mexican girls, this is what I need. And then this one in particular, in the middle with the gap in the front teeth, that soulful look, let's go see. So I listen to this thing and one of them's going, this is a teenage girl. I said, man, that's the quality. That heavy chest quality in a young person is highly prized. In Japan, that means you're a trillion seller. They love that quality there, you know. Tragedy in the young, you know, very interesting. Or sadness or melancholy, call it which one. So I made a call to a friend, Gene Aguilera, who's a friend of mine in East L.A., who was helping me locate people. And he knew where everybody was. So I says, hey, Gene, you know, where's Ursi Arvizu now? He says, hey, what? She's down the street. Let's go see her. She's been living in Arizona. Now she's here. Let's go check her out. So we went to a room where they were, El Chicano was there. These guys suddenly in a room with her, and she's singing, and it's the same sound. Because, of course, the problem is in time, and as time goes, everybody changes, and everybody becomes modern. And in Latin, it's certainly true. They have to, everybody feels that we have to keep up. We have to alter what we do. We want to keep making money. We want to stay popular. Therefore, the motivation is to become somebody else, right, but not Ursi. I don't think she would have done it if she could. Didn't know what it meant. So she's still back there in this bolero feeling, in this beautiful this beautiful way. And so I thought, oh my God, this is pay dirt. This is the real deal. Now we are really going to do good here. So I sat with her and I said, you know, here's who I am and this is what I'm doing. She didn't know me from Adam. And I said, so, you know, I've got Willie and you know him. Oh, yes. And Lalo, well, he's my uncle and this. And I said, okay, great. Now, what do you want me to sing? She goes, well, we'll write something. Me and Willie, we're going to write some songs for you so you can be part of this record. And we did. And I got to know her there and the sisters and the family, and there's lots of them. Nieces and nephews and everything. And so I got to be friendly and able to hang out and learn about their parents and the mother and the dad, who was a boxing trainer and a car mechanic and all this, and their story, which is an epic tale of working class East Los Angeles. You know, if there ever was one, it's like CinemaScope. It's amazing family story. So what am I going to sing about? What songs am I going to sing? I said, well, if you do all old tunes, we love them, but people won't pay attention. I suggest you write your life story.
Strong as hell, all the bands that would come through. in his eyes, you're still a young man. Cruise to the heart, baby. The music don't stop, baby. The party's really rocking, baby. Cruise to the heart. Cruise to the heart, baby. The music don't stop, baby. The party's really rocking, baby. Cruise to the heart. Riding to the heart. We got a head start drinking rum and coke, rolling down the steps of the motorhome. We're doing our thing, getting ready to sing. Winding it down, four in the morning, still hopping on a Saturday night. Staggering out to the parking lot, you can bet a fight. It wasn't about the knives and guns, just a thing of respect and having some fun. Let's go to Julio's and have some Menudo, leave and catch a rising sun. Cruise to the heart, baby. The music don't stop, baby. The party's really rocking, baby. Cruise to the heart. Cruise to the heart.
Cruising to the Hop, Erci Arvisu, from the new album Friend for Life, produced by Rye Cooter, our guest tonight in the Basement Record Library. This is Joel Selvin on the City.